last word on business.
With Forvis Mazars, supporting Irish businesses with audit, tax, outsourcing and advisory expertise. Visit forvismazars.ie.
And Ian Guider, columnist with the Business Post, joins us in studio for the last word on business. And we'll start off with a truly shocking statement, Ian, that Ireland is not a truly rich country.
Yes, this will upset many people because this is The Economist magazine. And of course, we are one of the richest countries in the world. We have very high wages. We have a very high standard of living. But if you look through The Economist list of 178 countries, in number one is Norway, number two is Qatar, followed by Denmark, Belgium, Switzerland, the United States, Singapore. I could go down all through the list and we aren't even ranked. And you say to yourself, why not? Well, the reason we're not put on this list, along with a few other countries, is that the methodology the economists use say that they couldn't put in a credible number for Ireland because we would probably be number one. And the reason for this is they measure a thing called gross domestic product, that awful technical economic jargon that measures the entire value of an economy. And if we were to measure Ireland's gross domestic product, we would come up with an absolutely astonishing figure that bears no resemblance to the real economy. And we know this because for the past decade and a half, we have had credible economic commentators say that Ireland's gross domestic product is just a total fiction. We had it growing up in 1 year, we had the Irish economy growing by 26% when measured by GDP. Paul Krugman, who is the New York Times economist and a Nobel Prize winner in economics, calling it leprechaun economics, because every now and again, the number shoots up by 25%. Another 3 months, it could be down by 10%. It grew by 12% in the first 3 months of this year. I don't think anybody thought the Irish economy grew by 12%. Did it feel like that in your pocket? So therefore, the economists are saying this is not a measure. And also, they're pointing out that's all to do with tax arbitrage, i.e. you've got all these multinationals funneling their money through here. Mm-hmm. We know all about the Apple money coming through Ireland. Look at all the multinational companies, the pharmaceutical companies that put their money through here, the social media companies that put their money through here. So I'm actually in agreement with The Economist on this. But put it this way, we are still a very wealthy country.
Yeah, just not according to The Economist. Let's move on then. Let's talk about the companies that we complain about, because Irish people are getting much better at complaining, aren't they? And then who is in their sights?
Yeah, let's give you the total number. So this is coming from the Consumer and Competition Protection Commission, and they say that between January and the end of June, there's been just over 20,500 complaints made to them about goods and services. And that involves a huge amount of people complaining that they didn't get value for money, that their contracts were not, that where there was a dispute about the contracts, they got a faulty good or service, they had problems cancelling a product or service, and overall they felt that they were not getting value for what they had paid for. And if you go down through the list of the most complained companies, Ryanair tops that list with 319 individual complaints. Air follows next with 241. Sky are following that with 219. You then have Currys in there with 203. You've got Aer Lingus with 173. Harvey Norman with 183. And I think what happens here, Frank, is you get a lot of complaints because companies are so bad at handling customer complaints that they feel they have nowhere else to go but to the official body like the CCPC. And of course, you even saw it the other day, Ryanair telling the Irish Times in its Price Watch, we're not answering to your customer complaints in the Irish Times column because we think it's stupid and we're going to spend our time doing what our customers want. And this is the frustration many people have when something goes wrong, when they buy a good or service, the company handles it so badly. Either the person at the end of the phone line handles it badly, or the computer says no and handles it badly. And then people start ringing up the Competition Commission to get involved and do something about it. And when you look through, as I said, the list of complaints, a faulty good or service, if you're a company out there and you buy it, so you sell a telly to somebody or a washing machine and it turns up and there's something wrong with it and they complain, instead of just saying, fine, we'll take it back. No, they go through a long complaint and dispute process that probably ends up costing them more. They then have to go through probably the CCPC or the Small Claims Court and it costs them more and they get their name published in the paper on radio or on Liveline and it costs them more rather than just doing, let's resolve this complaint. And if you look at it, of course these companies like Sky and Air, they've got hundreds of thousands of customers that are going to could be complaints, mm-hmm. but it's the handling process around how do I cancel? You're not making it easy. You charged me for something or you didn't fix it, and that's where it goes wrong.
But it's all about brand reputation as well. I mean, I worked for many years in the hospitality industry, and I remember somebody telling me once upon a time many years ago that if somebody has a good experience in a restaurant, they might tell two or three friends, but if they've a bad one, they'll tell everyone they know.
They will. And you look at it now, of course, you've got so many forms of complaint. You can go online yourself and name and shame a brand. You can go to the media. Yeah. And the thing, a lot of companies, okay, if you're Ryanair, you're carrying 15...
And that's actually probably a better path to success, isn't it? I know people have taken to X, formerly Twitter, to complain about, and they'll have their grievance sorted within minutes or hours as opposed to going through the official form of process.
They will. Now look, there are some brands which are probably immune to customer complaints. Ryanair is one of them. But if you are somebody, again, you go back to the list, it's the mobile phone companies, it's the telecoms companies, it's the electronics companies. The cost for them to sort something out is not worth being put on this list today that the Competition Authority have put out there, because it's in all the papers, it's been in all the websites, and it's been on every radio station today. Mm-hmm. Now, is that really worth it compared to the cost of fixing these complaints? And if you look at the organisations that are done separately by reputation, the credit union comes out best year after year after year for resolving complaints, because they have one, a person at the end of the phone line or in front of you, and actually they're seen as giving you a very good hearing, whereas all these companies who spend massive amounts on public relations and publicity and influencers, they get named and shamed rather than doing a very simple thing, which is saying to the customer, you're right, we'll have a look at it and we'll get it sorted.
And is that all the CCPC can do, is name and shame? And if that's the case, then companies could shrug and say, well, look.
Well, there are other ones. There are obviously things where there are contracts involved and disputes around, well, you said you came to do work and you didn't do it and you took my money. There are obviously more complex disputes, particularly around, say, if you're buying a high value item like a car, or you're buying a service like a holiday and something goes horrendously wrong. But there are very few recourses, and you know this from studying law, the Supply of Goods and Services Act. There are very few things, unless you really want to go down the courts route, which takes a long, long time.
Particularly when it comes to, like, one of the most expensive things you can buy, aside from a house, would be a car. And, I mean, you know, buying privately, I mean, comes with its own risks. And who do you complain to in those instances if the car that you've bought is actually turns out to be a banger?
Yeah, and that's the thing. And they always tell you, particularly in Ireland, look at who you're buying from, but also buy Irish. Because if you're buying from a local website or a local company, chances are you're going to be able to have a negotiation with them, rather than if you buy from abroad, you're just another customer and that's the end of it.
Okay, look, let's move on. I mentioned the hospitality industry a moment ago, and restaurants again doubling down on calls for VAT reductions. What is the latest that the Restaurants Association of Ireland is saying on behalf of their members?
So obviously with the budget coming up in about 6 weeks' time, there is a battle to ensure that VAT cut, which was in the programme for government to bring it down from 13.5% to 9%, goes through. And the Restaurants Association of Ireland have hired the DCU economist, Tony Foley, to do a report looking at the hospitality sector, because there has been a lot of criticism in the last number of weeks coming from some political parties, but also from trade unions, saying that this would be a waste of almost €1 billion going into the hands of celebrity chefs and large international hotel chains. And what the Restaurants Association's report that was carried out for it said, actually, if you look at it, there's 20,000 restaurants or hospitality businesses in this country. Pretty much all of them are small firms. 75% employ between 1 and 9 people. They're your local coffee shop, your local coffee van, they're your local restaurant or your pub. They are not massive chains. And they've broken this down by looking at company formations, CSO data, statistics, and found that of the 20,000 businesses out there, actually there's 73 companies that could be classed as chains. You think of the fast food restaurants, you think of some of the big hotel chains in Ireland. Yes, they will be fine. They don't need a VAT cut.
And from a tax point of view, that was always the issue, wasn't it?
You can't separate out the big companies from the small ones, the hotel rooms from the coffee shop in the restaurant in the hotel.
It seems the Restaurant Association has done just that.
What they're trying to point out is, look, of course, everybody knows the big chains, your McDonald's, your Burger King's, your Dalata hotel chains, your Maldron's. Yes, they're the big ones. But the vast, vast majority aren't. And these are the ones that are under pressure and need a cut in VAT. The CSO figures show bar sales are down. The CSO figures show food sales are down. And I actually think it is right to cut VAT. I notice people are going to be whinging, why won't they cut the price of a sandwich or a cup of coffee? Because every other price has gone up. Mm-hmm. I've looked at this in the Business Post in the past. The minimum wage has gone up by 50% since 2019. Restaurants and hotels and bars and coffee shops have to pay the minimum wage to their worker. That's why prices have gone up. costs, input costs have gone up, insurance costs have gone up, electricity prices have gone up. If they get the VAT cut, we aren't going to get it. It's not coming off the price of our latte, but it is keeping these businesses afloat.
And I do hope
the government stick with this and cut it down, because it is needed for so many people.
Oh, it was a lifeline when it was cut before. We're almost out of timing, but I do want to ask you, and it's again, I suppose, another hospitality industry related question. Council planners saying that outside the country's biggest shopping centre isn't the ideal place for food concession trucks. What's this about?
This is Dundrum Town Centre, which, if anybody knows it, one of the biggest shopping centres in the country, the second biggest, actually. Blanchardstown's the biggest. They have a coffee stand and a couple of other vans outside with selling food. Dunleary Ratdown County Council says, no, you cannot have these. This would be against the permitted use of this building, because you're creating a customer-focused environment, prohibiting the making of the use of this space for pedestrians and general public. It would be the wrong use of this. It's outside a shopping centre. This is the perfect place to have coffee trucks, to have people selling food and drink. I passed this myself just at the weekend, and this is a rant I do against building and planning permissions in this country. We do seem to have a problem in this country with using land that what it's there for. This is a small square in between the shopping centre and another bit of the shopping centre. Mm-hmm. It is not a general park in Dundrum Town Centre. And you just think, isn't this a great that we would have people sitting outside drinking coffee, creating for these small trucks the amount of footfall that they wouldn't get elsewhere? But yet you've got the Killjoys in Dunleary Ratdown. Nobody can have anything nice in this country.
No.
Here ends the rant.
There you go. And here ends the item. Ian Guider, business columnist with The Business Post. Thank you very much for that.
The last word.
With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.